Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have you with us. The destruction and death caused by Hurricane Sandy is still uppermost in many people's minds. But the presidential election is less than a week away, and foreign policy, America's place and role in the world, will be a key part of the job for whichever administration takes office in January. Madeleine Albright was the 64th Secretary of State. She was appointed by President Bill Clinton and served in that capacity from 1997 to 2001. She's currently teaching international relations at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and she joins me on the phone now from her office there. Madam Secretary, welcome to Lake Effect.
Very good to be with you, Bonnie.
If President Nixon's overarching foreign policy legacy was China and President Carter's was the Camp David summit and Iran and both Bush administrations were Iraq, what do you think has been the defining foreign policy narrative of the last 4 years?
Well, I think that the most important aspect of what President Obama's been doing is restoring America's reputation as a country that respects people's lives, the law, and understands America's really necessary proactive role in national security policy. I think that the president has also shown his immense respect for our troops by ending the war in Iraq, by making clear that it's time for the war in Afghanistan, the longest war that the U.S. has ever been involved in, to end and bring our troops home, and to honor the veterans as they return. But I think that for me, the most important part is just the approach that the president has taken in terms of understanding that America is strongest when we operate with partners and allies, and that that is the force multiplier, and that we don't have to go around telling everybody what to do and yet have the respect of the world by respecting the partners that we deal with.
Well, what do you think still needs to be done in that arena? What do you think is the most pressing foreign policy issue that's facing the United States?
Well, I think that there are several, but they all require a partnership with other countries. I do think that one of the really important, I think, victories for President Obama and the United States and the American people is the fact that Osama bin Laden is dead and that Al-Qaeda Central has been destroyed. But there really continue to be terrorist threats, and that is something that has to be worked on. I think also the issue of nuclear proliferation, Iran, the potential of them having a bomb is something that is a threat, and President Obama has made clear that they won't and that containment is not a policy. I think that also it is important to realize about energy and environment issues that have to be dealt with, and then the growing gap between the rich and the poor internationally as well as domestically, because it's wrong and it also makes it easier for people who dislike us to be recruited. So there are a lot of issues out there that need to be dealt with generally, and then specifically some very important bilateral relationships, and I would put China right up there, probably number one in that category. But national security is very much of a topic that brings issues, as you know, at any given moment, and we need to have a clear position and have friends and allies to deal with it with us because we're in this together.
Well, you mentioned China, and that was on my list of questions. China and Russia, even though it is no longer a superpower, Russia still holds many cards, particularly in the Middle and Far East. What do you think we should be doing in continuing a partnership with China and in increasing our good relations with them?
Well, I think that it is very clear to me that our relationship with China is the key relationship for this part of the 21st century. You know, anytime anybody talks about China, they say rising. They are involved in many parts of our national security policy simply by the virtue of their size and being a trading partner and now having ambitions in the South China Sea, being resource hungry. So they are very important, and we need to have all economic, political, and military relationships with them and be wary of some of the things they're doing, but try to figure out where our national interests of both countries bring us together. I fully support what's been now known as the rebalancing towards Asia because so many more people live there in the United States as a Pacific power as well as an Atlantic power. I think the issue with Russia is a little bit different. Russia continues to have a strong influence, but some of it has to do with the fact that they are don't know what their own identity is and are exerting themselves in places in a way that is not helpful, such as their lack of support for moving in a positive direction in Syria. So we have to keep our eye on Russia, and President Putin and his kind of identifying himself as if he were some kind of old-fashioned czar. So there are issues that have to be dealt with.
You also mentioned Iran and, of course, the nuclear proliferation issue there. What direction would you like to see our policy take vis-a-vis Iran, and what do you think is likely to actually happen?
Well, I do think that if they get a nuclear weapon, they do pose a threat. By the way, I teach a course called the National Security Toolbox in terms of what are the tools that a president has to use. And President Obama is basically using all of them. Diplomacy. We tried bilateral diplomacy. We are working on multilateral diplomacy, which has, in fact, produced one of the toughest sanctions regimes against Iran, and we now have every reason to believe that it is really hurting them and therefore puts pressure on them to negotiate. The president has also threatened the use of force, which I think is important, never to take an option off the table. But one would hope that the Iranians would come to their senses, understand they do have a right to a peaceful nuclear program because they're signatories of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, but it has to be inspected internationally, and they have to do that. And there are ideas on the table about having them be able to have some enriched uranium for their peaceful uses, but not for developing a nuclear weapon. So I think that is a very, very high agenda item.
All of this that we've been talking about, of course, takes funding, and it seems to me that defense spending is the big one that we always hear about in the media, but we hear very little about the budget for state and for its other agencies like USAID. Does that lack of public awareness of the value of diplomacy disturb you, and what can we do about it?
Oh, it's interesting you ask that because it really does. I mean, I talk about this sometimes, not the exact numbers, but the budget for the Pentagon is something like $700 billion plus things that are off budget, like the wars. And then the budget for the State Department is more like $70 billion, less than $70 billion, in order to pay for, you said you now have friends in the Foreign Service, in order to pay for them and the security of the embassies, and then the programs that are within them. And what I found interesting was when Secretary Gates was Secretary of Defense, he argued for a bigger State Department budget because there is a partnership, or should be, between defense and the State Department. But I think people do need to know how dependent we are for diplomats that are in secure places and able to do their job.
Is there something that state itself could do to make the public more aware of that, to make their case a little better?
Well, they try. You know, I think the part that is so strange, and I've been involved in this myself, I sat with some people not long ago at a kind of family restaurant, and I said, how much money do you think goes for foreign assistance? And they said what you always hear, which is, like 25% of the budget. And I said, well, would it surprise you if you knew that only 1%? So people do not know. And I think that there is an attempt, but it's hard. And part of it has to do with those people who are opposed to foreign assistance and make it sound like it's putting money down a rat hole, which it definitely isn't. But I tried very hard when I was secretary to kind of also have what we called an America's desk, is to kind of have people understand how much they get for their money with the State Department, and that diplomacy, it's the bread and butter, it's the key tool for having relationships with other countries. But the part that is very hard, I think, for now, especially Foreign Service people who are out there on the front lines, and I'm sorry to say we just had an example of this with Ambassador Stevens in Libya, are in the line of fire also. And they are, you know, we're now talking about the role of first responders, a little bit to do with a hurricane, but in some ways the diplomats are. And people think of diplomats as going to parties and wearing striped pants, when in fact they are out there working very, very hard to make sure that American interests are defended.
Secretary Clinton has announced her retirement from the State Department no matter who wins the election. What attributes do you think our next Secretary of State should have?
Well, first of all, I think she's done a fabulous job. And I just have to tell you, in my family, what happens is my granddaughter, when she turned 7 about 3 years ago, said, "So what's the big deal about Grandma Maddie being Secretary of State? Only girls are Secretary of State." And in her lifetime, that would be true. I think that what is needed is somebody who has a true interest and understanding of how national security policy and domestic policy fit together, partially for the reason that we were just talking about, is how to explain what goes on. I think it has to be somebody who has the capability of listening not only to the people in the United States, but the people that you deal with, of being able to do what is a basic aspect of foreign policy, is to be able to defend your own national interests while putting yourself into the shoes of the person that's on the other side of the table. You have to be patient, and you have to be willing to travel, that's for sure. But I think it's an amazing job, and Secretary Clinton has fulfilled it perfectly.
Well, Madam Secretary, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy day today to talk with us. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
Madeleine Albright was the 64th Secretary of State appointed by President Bill Clinton. She served in that role from 1997 to 2001. Dr. Albright currently serves as a professor of international relations at Georgetown University's Walsh School of Foreign Service. We reached her by telephone at her office in Washington, D.C. We'll take one last break, and then, as it is the last day of October, two essayists will reflect on what the month means to them. You are listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.